On and I want to, well, I'm going to make an application out of this. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 2, and now 1 John is really dealing doctrinally, has to do with the tribulation, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But in 1 John chapter 3, he said, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now this is a reference to the second coming of Christ. Verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now that hope is the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, and we'll put it over here when he comes back to this earth and and he's going to establish the kingdom. Y'all know this. And going to sit on the throne of David, rule for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, 6 times, talks about ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. So he comes back over here, and this is a hope. And John said, "He that hath this hope purifieth himself." In other words, they can't be spotted. They can't turn their back on the Lord. If they turn their back on the Lord, they're going to lose it. You understand? I'm talking doctrinally. Now, during this time period that precedes this time here, there is a what is called the man of sin. And I know y'all have heard it, the Antichrist. And there are 3.5 year period here and 3.5 year over here. And in the middle of this week, he breaks a covenant. When he comes on the scene over here, say right here at the first, he makes a covenant. Or he confirms a covenant that's already been. And someday in the future, there will be a man that will confirm a covenant. It has to do with land. And he's gonna, and they're gonna accept him, and they're gonna sit down, and he's gonna confirm this covenant for 1 week. And it's a week of years, so it'd be 7 years. And in the middle of that week, he's going to break that covenant. And what he's going to do, he's going to go into the temple. And he's going to show himself that he's God. And he's going to sit on the throne in the temple that's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, where the mosque is, where the Dome of the Rock is, you hear so much about. There's going to be a temple there. He's going into that temple. He's going to desecrate that temple. He's going into that temple, and he's going to sit up on the throne of that temple and say, "I'm God. I'm the one that gave you your land. I'm the one that caused this temple to be built. You worship me." Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, when you see this thing come to pass, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, he said, "You better flee into the mountains. You get out of there." But he also said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be what? Saved." In other words, this Jews in here, they got to endure 7 years tribulation looking for the second coming over here, when the Lord's going to come and break the bands of the Antichrist on them and going to destroy him. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And he's going to come and defeat the armies of the world that are gathered together to fight against him that sitteth in the heavens. You have that in a movie called Independence Day, and a good scenario is the armies down here are fighting against those that are in heaven. The only problem is those that's going to be in heaven that the men down here is going to be fighting against, that in heaven is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and they're not going to defeat him. Now you understand? But they're going to claim that. Now, how does all this thing look? And so 1 John is wrote to these people, Jews, that's going to go through this time period waiting for their hope, which is the second coming of the Lord back to this earth. And John says, when we see him, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And he goes on and said, he that hath this hope within him shall purify himself, shall keep him pure, for even he's pure. In other words, if they don't, here's what happens when. Now hang on to John, turn back to Hebrews, and look in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now this is where people get all messed up, not rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the book of Hebrews is wrote to who? Now how would you know that? That's the name of the book, isn't it? Now, there are no Hebrews in here, are there? You say, well, I could be a Jew in here. If you're saved, you're not a Jew. The Bible says in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. There are three categories in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There's Gentile, Jews, and church. So, there are no Hebrews in here. Now, look in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and notice in verse 6. Now, he's contrasting between Moses and how Moses did. Verse 6. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house are we? Condition. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the what? Hope firm unto what? To the end. Well, what hope is he talking about? Well, I just read it to you in 1 John. Second coming of Christ. They want to see their Messiah come. He promised them in John chapter 14, he said, if I go away, I what? Will come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And them 12 in here, and the Jews in here, they got them promises. They know what their hope is. Their hope is the coming of the Lord back to this earth, set up that kingdom that was promised to them, and rule and reign with him on this earth, and have authority over all the nations. He told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, keep my commandments, ye shall be the head and not the tail. But if you rebel, and he's going to scatter them, and they rebelled, and God scattered them among the nations. Come on down with me and look in chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Stay in chapter 3. Look back with me for one other verse. Look in verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, folks, they have to hold to the end to be a partaker of Christ. If they don't, would they be a partaker of Christ? No. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, notice in verse 4. For it is, now you ought to circle impossible. That's the key word in that verse. There's something you're going to read that's impossible to do. Now look. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. What is it impossible to do? These people that have been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they fall away, what's it impossible to do? To renew them again under repentance. Folks, they didn't hold fast their confidence firm unto the end, and that end is the second coming of Christ. They denied their hope, and they turned their back on them, the Lord, and they went back into the world and took the mark of the beast or whatever, and they are gone down the tubes. Now, people use these verses today to show you that you can lose your salvation. Bless your heart if you lose your salvation. What's it impossible to do? To renew it again. While you, the members of the body of Christ, saved by the grace of God, your salvation is not determined on what you do. It was determined on what He did for you. And you can't lose something you never earned. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You're saved. You're set apart in Christ. Once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've trusted Him and His death on the cross, and God Almighty placed you, baptized you into His body, and you become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Spiritually speaking, you're the body of Christ. He can never deny you. Isn't that something? So, well, what if I go out here and kill somebody? Then you're a saved murderer. Now put that in the pipe. People's got this foggy idea, you know. Well, I don't believe that. There's the book. Let's try it again. Turn over. Well, let's come on back over here to... Well, I feel like I need to go stay in Hebrews for a while. Look at... look in chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to give you something right here. Look in verse 16. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. For where a testament is. Now, y'all know what a testament is, don't you? Last will and testament. I want to ask you something. You make out a will. Now, when's that thing enforced? When you die, right? All right. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. That's the one that made the thing out. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Well, when did the testament become enforced? Well, Jesus Christ died back here. He didn't die till the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Am I right? Well, then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament books. They're not New Testament. I know the division in there is Malachi, Matthew, and you got New Testament. And that's all right. Jesus Christ shows up over here in Matthew. And through John, his ministry, he came and made of a seed of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Back here, the law was the Old Testament, and back here, under that old covenant, God Almighty had blood sacrifices and everything, and so he goes to the cross as a lamb for Israel. And on that cross, he dies and sheds his blood for the New Testament. Do you know what you are in here? You are no testament. God never made a covenant with you to save you. That's why it's by grace. God never promised to save nobody in this building. God Almighty never made a promise to a Gentile, heathen, idol-worshipping man, woman, boy, or girl to save them. That was a mystery hid in God, and not till Paul was it revealed. So here we go, and then you know what Paul says? Peter and them talks about the lamb. Do you know who Paul says died? A man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Back here, you have the sheep. Over here, you have sheep. Jeremiah, sheep. Flock. Jesus Christ told Peter, said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Do you know that Paul never mentioned you as a sheep? Why? You're not a part of Israel. And you're not spiritual Israel. You're old Gentiles that deserve to go to hell, and God saved you by His grace without you doing nothing and made you the spiritual trophies of His grace. Man, that's something, boy. That's good preaching, isn't it, Lori? Yeah, see there? Now, let's go on. Come on down with me to verse 27. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:28. Now watch it. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin. What? Unto what? Alright, so when do they get their salvation? Over here. You know what Zechariah says? He says, in that day there shall be a fountain open up to both houses of Israel for sin and for uncleanness. Do you know what Paul says? Looking back in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, notice what he says in verse 25. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, and blindness in part has happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now watch it. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them. Remember the New Testament? When I shall, what? take away their sins. Second coming of Christ, they get their sins took away. Don't you understand? So they got to endure to the end. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, notice in verse 13. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Talking about the tribulation now, this time period here, from this moment here to there. Matthew 24, 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. Then their salvation is over here. And they got to endure to the end of the tribulation, just like Hebrews wrote about it. In fact, look over in Peter. Look in 1 Peter. I mean, when you get to looking these things and running these references, my, I don't see how. You'd have to be blind and need a seeing eye dog to not see this. Look in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, notice what he's talking about. Let's see. Verse 7. Well, don't know where to start. Look, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Last time? Over here. All right? Remember the time when you in these books. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of what? Of Jesus Christ. They're going through the trial of their fire. Matter of fact, they're going through, they're like the three Hebrew children that get into the fiery furnace. They're going down, they're going through there, and it's the trial of their faith. Look what he said at the end of it. You receive honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Watch it. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Bless your heart. They're saved physically, waiting to be saved spiritually over here. And the salvation of their souls is when their sins are took away and they're saved spiritually. But you are saved spiritually, waiting to be saved physically. Right the opposite. Oh, I could just go on and on and on. Come over with me and let's try another one. Notice what he says. Let's go back to John for a moment. You see in the book of John, and you probably going to see some of the trends that's going to be in the tribulation. I'm already seeing them now. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if you've seen a special come on, we found the grave of Jesus and his bones is in it. Wouldn't surprise me at all. They have tried to smear his name by saying that he married Mary Magdalene and had a child and the bloodline is still flowing and all of that gabunk that you hear about today. They thought they'd find the tomb of Jesus and they wouldn't surprise me. They said they found his bones. Anything to destroy the deity of the Son of God. And man will believe anything but what this Bible says. They won't believe the Bible. And so look in 1 John and notice some things about 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And by the way, let me go back and look in chapter 1, verse 9. He said in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now hang on there just for a moment and compare a verse with me out of Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, notice he says in verse 10, and you are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Come down to verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, and that was when He raised Him from the dead, having forgiven you how many trespasses? Are you forgiven? How about it? When Jesus Christ come up out of that tomb, He died for your sins. Was there one sin that He didn't die for? Did God forgive you of your sins? You say, well, then why ain't everybody saved? Because everybody don't receive Him. They don't trust that. But here's a verse that says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I just read to you that He already forgiven you of all your sins when He raised Him from the dead. Well, if He's already forgiven me, what do I need to confess to get forgiveness? I've already got it. Wouldn't it be more faith to me when I do wrong to say, Lord, I understand, know that You have already forgiven me for that, and I'm sorry that I did that. The old flesh and on, but people, let me ask you this. What if people say, well, you've got to confess every day or you go to hell. I had a man tell me that. You've got to confess every day. Well, what about the things that you don't think that are sin, that are sin? People don't confess that. What about the things that we do that God says we shouldn't do when we think it's all right for us to do? But these people during this time period over here, they got to confess daily. Looking for the and trusting the blood that He was already shed back here, looking for Him to come over here. He came as a lamb back here. You know what He's coming as over here? A lion out of the tribe of Judah. Now look on. He says there, come over with me down to verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's right in here. Overcome the wicked one. That's the wicked one right there. It's Satan incarnate. Verse 15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now I realize you can make spiritual applications to these verses, but we're not making applications, we're talking doctrine here. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now here we go. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now people that are reading the book of John in here, it's wrote to them, it's wrote to the Jews in the tribulation. They're going to be reading that and they're going to say, yeah, man, we know it's the last time. John said, look here what he said. He said in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be able to manifest that they were not all of us. They didn't hold fast their confidence steadfast unto the end. They turned their back. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he that looketh and turneth his back, looketh back, and turneth his back to the plow is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. These people in here that start out serving God and they turn from serving God, it's impossible to renew them again. They're lost for eternity. Not so with you. And people read this and they've been brainwashed by the religious system to believe that the church is spiritual Israel and that we can lose our salvation and all of this stuff if we don't live a perfect life. And you ain't never seen nobody that's lived a perfect life. And you won't. It's amazing to me. But look on. Verse 20. He said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now you know yourself, you don't know all things. You don't have an unction to know all things. I can't look at you and tell whether you're saved or not. I mean, you want to see an example? Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira come in, they had some ground. They sold their land, and let's just say they sold it for $10,000. Now everybody else is taking all their money and putting it into the apostles' kitty, and everybody's living out of that commune. They just all have everything in common. So old Ananias and Sapphira, they sell a parcel of ground for $10,000. And old Ananias and Sapphira, she says, now honey, I'm just not so sure I'm persuaded about that bunch there. What if we just say that we got $5,000 and let's put $5,000 in there and let's just keep $5,000 back out for us just in case this thing don't work out so we'll won't be broke. So they planned there, and so here comes Ananias in. They're having a service, and people bringing their money up. They sold their land, their houses, and everything. And by the way, there ain't nobody around here to tell you in his right mind tell you to go sell your house and your land and bring your money in here. But they did in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh, but the church started in Acts chapter 2. Yeah, right. And all of a sudden, we just discard so many chapters out of there that the church is doing because we don't want to do that today. Now, if you want to do that, you just feel free to do it. But Ananias comes in, he brings his $5,000. You know what? Peter had the unction. You know what he said? He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? In essence, he said, when it was yours, was it not in your power to do with it or whatever you wanted to do? In other words, Peter was telling him, man, if you just wanted to give $5,000, all you had to do is say, I got 10, but I'm going to give 5. I'm keeping 5 for myself. Wouldn't have been nothing they done. But he said, Ananias, is that how much that land cost? Yeah, that's what we got for it, $5,000, giving it all. And that's when he lied. Now, how did Peter know that? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had that unction. He knew all things. About 3 hours later, here comes Sapphira in. I just picture her with a big old hat and a feather, and you know, come prancing in there in a dress. And she's walking down through there, and she's just so proud. Sapphira, did you sell your land? Is that what you got out of it? Yeah, that's what we did. And old Peter says, Well, the same feet carried your husband out of here is going to carry you out of here. And she fell down dead. You know what God did? He killed both of them right there in the assembly. Now let me ask you something. If God killed all the liars today, how many would be here today? You wouldn't have no preacher. I mean, just think about it, folks. But he knew. But that ain't all. Come look in there and what he said. Verse 22. And here's a trend that's going to be in the tribulation that we're seeing today. He said, verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." And so, verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." Come over to verse 26. "And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." There are going to be, Jesus said in Matthew 24, there are going to be many Christs, many false prophets coming and saying, "Here's Christ, here he is." And the Antichrist is going to be a false Christ. And a false prophet, the beast of Revelation 13. And through there, they're going to be deceiving and seducing people. And they're going to be performing miracles and people seeing the thing today. That's what people want today, is a miracle. Come and get your miracle. Come and get healed. And come and be give $100. And God will give you $1 million. And God wants you to drive Cadillacs and Mercedes and BMWs and all that. Fool with the Chevrolets, man. Get the big stuff. A prosperity gospel. And that's what people's hungry for. And they go to these services and they play this jazz music and they sway back and forth and all of that, just fulfilling the lust of their flesh. Say, "Well, that offends me." Good, good. Folks, they're out to seduce you. But watch what verse 27 says. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Do you see what that verse says there? He said you have an anointing, and you don't need any man, need not that any man teach you. Hang on there and compare a verse with me. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, notice in verse, Ephesians 4, notice, verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now skip the parentheses, verse 8, 9, and 8. It's afterthought. "He gave gifts unto men, and he gave some," the gifts, "some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors," and what? Huh? Well, why would he give teachers? If you have an anointing, you need not any man to teach you. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7. "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry." That's serving it, like a waiter serves a table. You wait on it. Whatever your ministry is, you tend to it. You just don't let it sit there. You tend to it. "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that," what? Well, I thought we had anointing that we need not any man to teach us. Why in the world would you wait on your teaching ministry? What do you mean teaching ministry, Paul? I've got anointing. I don't need nobody to teach me. Now, either that's a flat contradiction or what is it? Well, it's not wrote to you. We do have teachers in the body of Christ. And we have them here. And one day we're going out. They're looking for Him to come back. We're looking to go up. That's our hope. Paul said we have teachers. One other thing, and I'm going to close. Now, what about us? Now, we've showed all of this. And by the way, this is... Let me read you a verse. Turn to Jeremiah. Look in Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. In Jeremiah chapter 30. You know that man? The Antichrist? Well, look in Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved, what? Out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke, that's the Antichrist, from off thy neck, and will burst their bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That'll be in the kingdom. Now, the Antichrist. But notice he's Jacob's trouble. He shall be saved out of it. Not from it, but out of it. They're going through it like the Hebrew children went through the furnace. If they endure, they get their sins took away and they have eternal life, enter into the kingdom. If they fail, then they don't. So what's the trend in the time of the tribulation? Jesus ain't who He said He was. He was an imposter. Jesus is not the Christ. Jesus never came. Jesus was not the Son of God. And John says, anytime you hear that, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And you're hearing it today, folks. And that's a spirit that's coming on this country and on this world that denies that Jesus Christ was the virgin-born Son of Almighty God. And it's going to get worse and worse till we're gone. Notice something else about this. Look in Zephaniah. You want to see something about this tribulation. Look in Zephaniah. Just go over a few pages. Past Hosea and on Joel and Amos and all that. Zephaniah, look in chapter 1. You want to see about that time period in there? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. For the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, a day of desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And it's a day where their silver and their gold. And James chapter 5 verses 1 through 4 talks about the rich howling and the weeping over their silver. And over, they've heaped to themselves treasures under the day of wrath. That's the day right here. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. You know why it's called that? Old Jacob was coming back with his family, going back into his homeland, and Esau was coming to meet him. And Esau had said, I'm going to kill you. And old Jacob got to troubling. He got troubled over that. He was scared and he began to pray. And that's what this time of Jacob's trouble. The world's going to turn against Israel and march down in there and going to try to wipe them out. Why, the Bible says Jerusalem's a cup of trembling to the nations of this world. It's a day of wrath. Now, turn to Romans. And I promise you, I'm going to let you go. But I just, you know, there's things that I feel like the Lord would have me to say. And I'm not going to quit just for the sake of you getting out early if the Lord don't want me to quit. Notice something about in Romans chapter, look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, notice what he says. He says in verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved. What's them next two words? The church in here is saved by grace. It's called the dispensation of grace. We're saved, what? From wrath. They're saved, what? Out of it. There's the difference. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us of what manner and entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from your idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. And that word delivered, that's past tense. Delivered us from the wrath to come. This over here is wrath, folks. It's the day of wrath, time of Jacob's trouble, not the body of Christ. We're delivered from it. When did he deliver it? He delivered us back here. He bore the wrath of God for everybody in here. God poured his wrath out on his Son in AD 33 for you. His Son went through the wrath and drunk of the cup of God's indignation and wrath. Look in chapter 5, Romans, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 9 says, let me read verse 8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. That's an oso salvation, helmet, knowing. And that word hope there is not, it's confident in expectation. It's something you know of surety. Look what he said in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why has he not appointed us to wrath? Well, back in 2 Corinthians, verse 5, let me read it. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. He says there in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Do you know we are ambassadors to Christ? We represent Christ. And you know something? Anytime a sovereign nation declares war against another, what's the first act they do? They call their ambassadors back home. Look in chapter 4 of Thessalonians for my last, I promise. Yeah, see, I told you I lie a lot. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Now look at verse 13. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's my hope. That's why we call it the rapture, because the word's caught up. That's what rapture means. It's the catching up. It's to be you raptured out. You're snatched out. You're caught up. And that's our hope. That's what we're looking for. And God one day will catch us away. And Philippians even says that. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, our conversation is in heaven. Verse 20. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Folks, there's a day of coming. The Lord's coming out here in the cloud. He's going to catch us up before the wrath again. And the body of Christ is going. His ambassadors will be took out of this world. Then He's going to speak to this world in wrath. Let me tell you something. That rapture here is a mystery. This church is a mystery, and it wasn't revealed to nobody until the Apostle Paul. And the rapture's not in the Old Testament, it's only in the epistles of Paul, and you don't know when it's going to take place. It could take place before I even get done. And why would you want to wait? If you're not saved, you've got to go through this thing and end up taking the mark of the beast and end up being cast into the lake of fire. You see, you wouldn't receive the love of the truth that you might be saved back here. Don't think you're going to receive the love of the truth over here, because God said, I'm going to send you strong delusions that you'll believe a lie and be damned. You ain't got guts enough to be saved back here. Don't tell me you're going to have guts enough to be saved over here. You know something? It takes a real man to trust Christ as his Savior. These phony balonies, you know, have no fear and all that. I tell you, there over here you're going to fear. While the mighty man's going to get down and weep and cry. Why, Jesus said men's hearts going to fail them for fear looking upon those things coming upon them. They're going to be dying like falling out into the floor, heart attacks, looking on these things that's coming. They're going to want to crawl in the holes, in the caves, in the mountains, and hide them from the face of Him that sitteth in the heavens. They're not going to know what's going on, and the devil's going to deceive them, saying, we got to fight. We got to send nuclear war rockets up there. We got to destroy them. Gather them together. We're going to battle against them aliens out there. We're the United States. We're the United Nations, we'll win. We're not going to be defeated. I tell you, God Almighty's going to shake this earth like He's shaking a fig leaf. And brother, they're going to get down and howl. And that ain't all. If you're sitting here and you're lost and you end up going through that, you're going to one day get before God Almighty and you're going to bow down on your hands and your knees and you're going to say, yes, Jesus, You are the Lord. You're God's Son. And I should have trusted You. But you know something? It's like Alan said. People's heard the gospel so much it don't even faze them no more. They've heard about the Lord's coming. They don't pay no attention to it no more. But I'm going to tell you, it might be later than you think. If you ain't seen the Antichrist, there's some good foreshadows out there of Him. There's some good forerunners of Him. If you ain't seen Him, there's some types. You know how they get in power, Daniel? Flatteries. They don't say nothing, but they flatter everybody. Watch it. Now let me ask you. The Lord would come. Would you be ready to go? Or would you be left behind? You say, well, I'd get saved then. Well, picture this scenario. Lord comes. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. You're changed. Let's say you're sitting here and you're lost. And all of a sudden, the rapture happens. And you look around, there's clothes and there's blood everywhere. You know what happened to you? You'd go nuts. All of a sudden you look around and there's just blood everywhere. And clothes. And blood. Somebody calls 911. How am I going to explain this? Good gracious, they're going to think I killed everybody. What did I do with the body? What happened? You say, well, that's going to be... I'm just saying, just think about it. Folks, you don't want that. Why go through this when He's done went through it for you and all you got to do is receive Him? Will you do that? Well, I know what Luke's going to tell me when I get home, so I'm going to let him go ahead and tell me now. And Brianna... Did I preach too long, Brianna? No, don't you lie to me. Y'all can go.